Let's turn to Romans chapter 15 here this morning. And I'm going to want to read just one little verse, verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read. Just one verse here this morning. We're going to keep it very short, but very powerful. And this is Paul writing to the Romans, and he says this: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I know that this is just one little verse, but it is so full of such great truths here this morning. So, Father, may this one verse just stand out so much in our lives here, not only this morning, but throughout today and every time we meditate on this verse, of the power that this one verse has and contains. Work in each and every one of our lives, Lord. We trust you in this. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. One little verse. How many times have we read that verse? And today, hopefully, it'll take on a very important meaning for you today. This is week number 29 in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. And today we're going to continue in the Ninth Commandment. We're getting there. We're almost through. And the Ninth Commandment is found in Exodus 20:16. It's written right there in your bulletin. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Or as we began last week, we would say today, we shouldn't tell what? Lies. We shouldn't tell lies. We shouldn't tell lies. Quit telling lies. Here's an interesting couple stats. A study by the University of Massachusetts found that 60% of adults could not carry on a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. Now, this was such an interesting stat that I was at work on Thursday, and I was packing some boxes, and Jane, my coworker, was right there with me, and we're talking about stuff. And she said, "What are you preaching on Sunday?" And I said, "I'm preaching on lying." And I said, "Here's an interesting stat for you, Jane." I said, 60% of adults could not carry on a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. And I said, "You know what that means?" I said, "That means if you and I talk in 10 minutes, one of us is lying." And she says this: "Well, Mike, it's got to be you because you do all the talking." And that is a true story. That is a true story. And I said, that was too good to pass up. I got to share that one. The same study found that 40% of people lie on their resumes, and a whopping 90% of those looking for a date online, they lie on their profiles. And one last stat: teenage girls lie more than any other group, which is attributed to peer pressure and expectation. So those are just a few stats. Let's do a little bit of a review here. Last week we talked about that there were five categories of liars. We actually categorized liars in five categories. Anywhere from the not so bad occasional liar to what we call the white liar, to the careless liar, to the compulsive liar, and then what society would call the worst kind of liar, the sociopathic liar. And that person who's a sociopathic liar is one who shows absolutely no care or concern about anybody else with their lies. But in the spiritual world, let's bring it to the spiritual world here today. It makes no difference what kind of liar a person might be categorized at, what gender they may be, or what age they are. Telling a lie is an offense against God, and it is a sin, regardless of what category we might be in, what gender we may be, or even what age we are. Also, last week I gave 10 reasons why people lie, and today I'm going to simplify all 10 of those reasons down to one. I can do that. 10 reasons why, if you have your bulletin from last week, they're written here. I'm not going to review them. But I can answer that in one. They're all based on one. You know what that one reason is? A person tells lies because lying is a sin, and sin is the human condition. It is part of our fallen nature. Human beings sin, and telling lies is a part of our fallen nature. It's just one of the things that we just might do. But knowing that fact does not give any of us Christians a license to sin at will or any way or any time we want. And I believe we honor that. In your bulletin are two definitions that Webster gives for the word to lie, the verb lie. And this is going to be really, really interesting because I learned a lot doing this research here. The first definition is this, and if you want to follow along with me, the first definition Webster gives is this: an assertion of something known or believed by the speaker or writer to be untrue with intent to deceive. An assertion or something known or believed by the speaker to be untrue. So the person speaking this or the person writing this knows that what they're about to say is going to be a lie. And in this case, with the intent to deceive. Now, if you were with us here last week, I gave that wonderful example of that lie that I told at my 5-year class reunion that, if you weren't here, let me review real quick, that I had to be... I told all my classmates at my 5-year reunion in 1976 that I wrote the song that was going to be a recorded hit by the Captain and Tennille, okay? That's what I told them. It was nothing but a lie. So that's what I told, but kind of remember that. So let's use that example that I gave last week, and I could say this to this congregation right here. I wrote a song that was performed and turned into a hit song in 1976 by the Captain and Tennille. Now, I could say that to you, to this congregation, and that would be a classic example of definition number one. I know that that statement is untrue. It did not happen. It is a lie. And no matter how often I might repeat that to whomever, it still doesn't make it true. It still never happened. I spoke that lie to deceive you into believing something that really wasn't true. Something that would make me look good and something that I could boost my own self-esteem. Now let's look at the second definition, because we're going to look at this all together. The second definition I find is very, very interesting and important. It's this: an untrue or inaccurate statement that may or may not be believed true by the speaker or writer. So in other words, it's something that I say, and I really don't know if it's true or not, but I'm going to say it anyways. So here's an example of that definition. Okay? Last week I told you all about my songwriting abilities and my connections to the Captain and Tennille. So I'm going to use my friend Russ as an example. Usually it's Greg. You notice Greg doesn't, he'll never sit here anymore. Sorry, Russ, you're in that direction. So Russ, he hears me say this. So Russ, in turn, he goes to work and he says, "You're not going to believe this. Guess what my pastor told me on Sunday? My pastor wrote this song and it was performed and turned into a hit song in 1976 by the Captain and Tennille. Do you believe that? Isn't that amazing?" Now he goes and he tells all his friends about this, believing that what he said was true. But in reality, what Russ repeated was an inaccurate statement. That did not happen. But according to the definition of the word lie, Russ just told a lie because he repeated a lie that I told. He may or may not have believed me, but he repeated my statement to his friends at work as if what I said was the truth. Now, you're thinking, right? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Russ didn't mean to lie. That's right. He didn't mean to.
He assumed that what he heard from me was the truth. Russ's intent was never to deceive anyone, which is definition number one, and he probably didn't mean to lie. But he did. He lied. So how often do we do that? How often do we repeat something, really not knowing if it's true or not? The lesson here, I believe, is this. We need to be careful what we repeat, what we hear, what we read, and what we repeat. And if we are not sure that if what we heard or what we read was true or not, then maybe we should just do what? Zip it. Thank you. Maybe we just need to keep quiet if we are not sure. What's the statement say? Ask me no questions, and I tell you no lies. Right. But you can see how this can open up all sorts of complicated situations and place each and every one of us in a position where we could all be liars and not even know that we are doing it. Let's look at three different scenarios to help illustrate this point a little bit further. The first one is this. What about the media, our news media? We turn on the TV, or we read the newspaper, or we look on the internet, whatever it may be, and we're all fed information by our news media teams who say that they are giving us the facts. And we trust them to tell us what? The truth. We trust them to tell us the truth. But do they? And then we take those facts or those things that we have been told, and we run with them and we repeat them. And by doing so, we could be liars. Maybe not intentionally and probably not intentionally. But we are if we run with that lie that they tell us and go with it. Just a little personal opinion note I'd like to throw in here at this time. I believe there was a time when the news media did report the truth. Like in the days of Walter Cronkite. Remember Walter Cronkite? And that's the way it was. But today's news media is nothing more than a heavy slant to one particular bias or another. And they want you and I to believe and think exactly like they do. I think it's more opinion now than what it is news. Just give me the news, let me form my own opinion. So, had to get that out there. Second scenario, we talked about the news media. What about our government? What about our government? They are supposed to be giving us the facts. We trust our government to tell us the truth. But do they? As the saying goes, or the question goes, how can you tell when a politician is lying? His lips are moving. Right, or her lips are moving. I wonder what our country would be like if all those in governing authority positions told the truth all the time. Wow. Wonder what would happen. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of sins that we have been talking about here lately, talking about these Ten Commandments. But for some reason, I just really don't like people who tell lies. Especially those people who tell lies and they know that they are lying. Those people who lie with the intent to deceive people like you and me. So why do I say that? Well, there's one key element about lying that we all need to consider. And I think you know what that key element is, and I'll get to it here in a second. But let me say this. When a person lies, when a person tells a lie, something breaks in that relationship between those two people or that person in those groups or whatever it might be. Something that was once there is no longer there. And it is something that is extremely important in a valued relationship. So what is that something that has been broken? And that's our one and only fill in the blank, and you probably know what it is. When people lie, I probably could have said this differently. When people lie, there's a very good chance that trust is broken. Trust. It is difficult. Okay, married couples out there, listen, I think I'm talking to all of us. It is difficult to maintain a healthy relationship with a person or a group of people when the trust that you once had with that person or that group of people has been broken because of lies that have been told. Let me make up a hypothetical situation for scenario number three. A man gets on the phone and calls his wife and tells his wife, "Honey, I got to work late tonight. I'll be home around 7, 8 o'clock. "Well, okay, dear." And she hangs up the phone, and he comes home when he says he's going to come home. Well, then a couple weeks later, it happens again. Well, okay. And then it starts happening a little more often. And frequently, the wife starts getting a little suspicious. One day, she gets that phone call, "Honey, I got to work till 7, 8 o'clock tonight." She's so suspicious, she says, "I'm going to go to his work. And I'm going to make sure that he's there, that he's telling the truth and not lying." She goes down to his place of employment, walks in the office, and his office is dark, and the lights are turned off, and he's not there. And she asks one of the co-workers, "Where's my husband? What, didn't you see him? He left around 4 o'clock today, said he was going home to surprise you." It's not what happened, was it? She goes back home. The husband comes in around 8 o'clock that night, and she confronts him, as she should. "Where have you been?" To make a long story short, not only has he been lying about where he has been, but he has also been breaking another commandment that probably you can figure out which one it is. He is also having an adulterous affair with another woman. Lies. I believe one of the worst things that lying does is break the trust between two people. When will that wife ever trust her husband again? That's assuming she didn't kill him. Will she trust him next month? Next year? Ever? Never? Can or will that marriage still work after those vows of fidelity have been severed and the trust that was once there has now been broken? I'm not going to answer that this morning, but I can see that the answers to those kind of questions are, it's probably a sermon series for another date and time, and we'll get there. But let's continue on with this about lying. Can we trust our news media if we know that they are lying to us? And when do we begin to trust our news media if our trust with them has been broken? Next month? Next year? When a new news person gets on there, do we ever trust them, or do we just never trust them again? Can we trust our politicians when we know that they are lying to us? And when do we begin to trust our politicians if our trust in our politicians has been broken? Next month? Next year? Ever? Never? We live in a world, don't we, where the source of any information we desire is available somewhere and it's easily accessible. And it's called the internet, we've probably all been on the internet before. And these sources of information, they're called websites, they're called blogs, they're called forums, they're called many other things. And many of these sites are very valuable resources for great information. I go to them every week preparing my sermons looking for information. And that's a good thing. But in other cases, that's the good side, but in other cases, many of these sites are no more than digital cesspools filled with deceiving liars. Which ones do we visit? Which ones do we spend our time on? And can we tell the difference between the two? So I'll have to say it again, and I said it earlier. We need to be careful repeating what we read and what we hear. Because if we repeat a lie, either intentionally or unintentionally, that makes us liars too. So just to let you know, Russ, I never wrote a song and gave it to the captain in Tennille, okay? That didn't happen. But there is one source that will never tell you a lie, and it will never tell me a lie. There is one source whose integrity never needs to be questioned. There is one source that is 100% trustworthy. There is one source that will never, ever fail you or fail me. And what is that source? I hope you have one in your hand right now. It's called the Bible, and it's the Word of God. The Bible is truth. I'll take it a step further. The Bible is absolute truth. And the Bible says this: the truth will do what? It will set you
free.
Set you free. The truth will set you free. And in more ways than we could ever imagine. We want to place our trust in the news media, don't we? We'd like to do that. I'd like to turn on TV and hear the truth. We want to place our trust in politicians. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but we want to do that. We'd love to do that. And we want to place our trust in other people, our spouses, our friends, our coworkers. But we must remember that all those sources, the internet, the media, the politicians, even our spouses, even our friends, even other people, we are all, including myself, we're all corruptible sources. And at some point in time, corruptible sources will eventually let us down. Because eventually, we have the potential for doing what? Lying. We all do. Our scripture reading this morning was just one little verse. And what does that one little verse tell us about trusting? There's that word, trusting in God and His Word. Because we have to make the difference between lying and the truth. The truth and lies, and what the difference is there. What does it tell us about trusting in God's Word? Let me read that again. Verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we trust in Him, when we trust in the Word of God, when we hold this book dear to us and know that it's absolute truth, the promise is this, that He will fill us with all hope, with all joy, and with all peace. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, that can mean a whole lot of things to a lot of different people. But joy and peace should mean a whole lot to every Christian. That doesn't mean that bad things still don't happen. That means that the way we approach them is going to be a whole lot different than the unbeliever. Because we have this joy. We have this peace inside us. And then it says that this joy and this peace that we have inside us, there is a result of that filling that the Holy Spirit gives us. That we may overflow with the hope by the power of this Holy Spirit. The word hope, we don't talk about hope enough here at church, and shame on me for not talking about hope, or maybe we do. Hope, it says that we may be overflow with the hope that the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced, my friends, that the news media has told us lies either intentionally or unintentionally. I know that our politicians have lied to us, and for reasons that we will never know, and that is unfortunate. And quite often, our spouses and our families and our friends have lied to us, and possibly we have lied back to them too. And that's a lot of broken trust, and I know that that's a difficult thing to recover. But God's Word says this about God's Word. Both Titus chapter 1, verse 2 and Hebrews 6, 18 tell us that it is impossible, impossible, I am possible for God to do what? To lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He wrote this book, so it's impossible for God to lie. That means once we trust in God, once we trust in His Word, we will have hope and we will never, ever, ever, ever be let down. Never lie to. And that trust will take us all the way into eternal life and into glory. Because in all the things in our human lives that can really let us down, of all the things in our lives that can really sorely disappoint us, of all the people in our lives that could lie to us, of all the sickness in this world that can frighten each and every one of us, and all the words that can be spoken to us that can really discourage us, we know this. The worst thing ever that could ever happen to a human being, and that is dying and going to hell, is never going to happen to me. People can let me down. Circumstances can disappoint me. People can lie to me. I could get sick, ill, have surgeries. People can say things about me and call me names. But this I know. I have joy and peace. Because those things aren't nothing compared to the worst thing that could happen. And it ain't never going to happen to that, my friends, is what? Good news. Because I do, and I know you do, we trust in the infallible Word of God, the absolute truth, the promises that are given in this book. And we know this, that God will never, ever, ever, ever break that trust that people can do. Let's face it, we're all sitting here and trust has been broken between you and your spouse probably at one point in time. You and your friends, you and your family, you and your coworkers, you and maybe even other church people. We have all broken trust at one point in time. But we are guaranteed of this, my friends, that God will never break His trust and His promises with us. His trust. Do you trust God? You probably trust that person sitting next to you. And that's a good thing. And hopefully that person sitting next to you will never give you a reason to break that trust that you have between you and him or you and her or you and the family, whatever that may be. But remember this, and I don't mean this as an excuse. We're corruptible people. My goodness, we're corruptible. We are. We have flaws. And we say things and we do things that we don't mean and didn't mean to say. But the point I want to make is this. Not so much on the heaviness of other people, but on the trustworthiness of God. In this world where we have so much that maybe we can't trust, there's one that we can. And His name is God the Father, God the Son through the person of Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. All praise and all glory belongs to Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.